You may want to sit up.
Why?
Because you're going to be all, you're not going to like the way you look on camera.
I don't like the way I look on camera anyway. So
is that framing over there good, Shane?
Yeah.
Because I can't see it since he's moved.
You can see everyone break it.
Is there plenty of room on both sides? It's not unbalanced?
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Because I got the two of us right now.
If I lean to the side, my head goes off the screen.
Does it?
No.
Okay, good. All right.
I've watched you way too long, Rob, to know what goes on and what doesn't.
Good, because I'll fight you.
Rob, I bet you thought when you came in here today that you were going to have the biggest bottle.
I did, actually.
And you were wrong.
I really did.
I don't know. I mean, his is taller for sure, but I don't know if it's, I don't know if it holds more or not.
Proud of you for drinking water.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Hey, this is
everything's
water.
Everything's so loud.
It's carbonated water.
That's I can turn it down a little bit if you want.
No, I keep just hitting things.
Just sit as still as you can.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does feel weird underneath the table.
What are you doing over there?
I was touching under the table.
It's wood.
Scritchy.
You know, they need to have more of these at restaurants so the waiter or waitress can stand right up in there and
just go right.
Stand out here and, hey, you over there.
All right. Is everybody ready?
Yep.
Yep.
As I ask every time before, and
then,
I'm not
and then you need 2 minutes to get ready.
I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be. You still haven't told me what accent you want.
You have to decide.
I have to decide.
I'm leaving that up to you.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Well,
and make sure you point that mic right at your mouth.
It's pointed at my mouth.
No.
There.
Nice and loud.
It's pointed at my mouth. That was a really good one.
Yes.
All right. So, thank you guys so much for watching this episode of the podcast. Nope, that is not how I'm going to start it.
Where should I look? That one?
I know.
Yeah, that's your, if you want to talk to the camera, you can. But then the rest of us, you can talk to whoever. Yeah. All right. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for watching Nonsense.podcast. I'm a little bit nervous, if I'm honest, because we've talked about this episode for a while. And we are finally putting it into fruition. And everybody's going to learn all of the stories about my childhood.
You should be nervous.
We've brought on my dad. We were talking about bringing on our parents. And we brought on my dad because he has the stories from when I was a kid, when I lived in Houston, all that kind of stuff. So I'll basically go ahead and introduce yourself and tell everybody, like, just so they get to know you.
Okay. My name is Bob. Robert Junior, or Robert Senior. He's Robert Junior.
Trying to steal my name.
Yeah, I'm trying to steal it away from you.
How dare you?
Well, hey, I gave it to you. I can take it back.
I mean, that is kind of true. Legally, I don't think it's true, but whatever.
No. Anyway, as I'm sure you've all figured out by this time, I am Rob's dad.
I also said
it. Bio dad. I'm the guy, the one that raised him, the one that made him like he is. Don't throw rocks. Anyway, and
does anybody even have any rocks?
I do.
Oh, well, reserve those for only throw them at him like when it's really necessary.
Okay, I'll wait.
Yeah, wait for the bad dad puns.
Yeah, we haven't heard any of those yet.
Yeah. You know when it becomes a dad pun, don't you? When it becomes a parent.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Haven't heard that one.
What have I done?
You was born, child. You was born.
So go ahead and talk about what you. Anything about yourself that you want us to know? Well, them to know, because I already know it all.
Well, let's see. I am a licensed minister and ordained pastor. You'd never know it by listening to me. had Rob back in 82.
I think it's funny that he had to be like, this is 82?
Hey, my math is terrible.
Yeah.
And then your little brother, Randy, in 84.
Yep.
And you guys did your best to try and eliminate yourselves as children back in the day.
Well, that wasn't our doing.
It wasn't?
No.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I thought you were getting at the fact that our mom went into a coma and she was not there, and then you had to raise us by yourself.
Well, yeah, there was that too.
I thought that's what you were getting at.
No, no, I was just getting at the fact that you guys were imps when you were little.
What were little we, short? Impish? And yes. Little? What is very that? What?
You were bad.
Are you making fun of me already?
You behaved badly.
Oh, well, we were PKs, so.
That's true. That's true, yes. I mean, things like riding your bikes on the roof of the house.
We did do that.
And what?
Now, you weren't so bad at this, but Randy kept disappearing every time I turned around. I'd have to get in the car and drive around the neighborhood and ask all the kids, did you see Randy today?
So we lived in a neighborhood that was like full of gangs.
Yeah, it was, the neighborhood was 85% Hispanic, had two different street gangs fighting for control of it. And that was two blocks from the church that I pastored.
Right.
And
was it two blocks?
Two blocks.
Wow. I must have been little because it felt like it was much further than that.
Yeah, no. That was it. And yeah, raising you two was interesting.
Yeah, because you went from having a partner to like being a single father, like basically overnight.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was, because I remember the day it happened, I went to pick up dinner and got you guys at the bus stop and came home, and she was passed out on the couch and never regained consciousness.
Right.
For 4 years and $4.5 million worth of medical bills.
Yeah, luckily your job covered 100% of that.
Yes. They changed
the policy
after that. Wow. Yeah, she was the insurance policy said that you could be in a skilled facility or transitional hospital for an unlimited number of days. Mm. She was in it for 18 months. They changed it after all of this was over with. They changed it to 120 days. So, and then I had to raise you guys with two full-time jobs. I had to raise you guys. And
then you had a bunch of side jobs too, right? You were like you were a pastor and a security guard, but you were also a bounty hunter.
Yeah, I worked as a bounty hunter for 5 years. Good grief. What else did I do?
So this is dementia, guys.
Oh, I had Larry and I ran the two food pantries.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There in Houston.
Yeah. I remember that because Randy and I, we would always come home with when we would go with you, and we came home with some of the weirdest things, like diet chocolate soda.
That is really weird.
Yeah, so so Randy and I were home a lot by ourselves because he had to go to work all the time. And then we were heathens. We were hooligans. We would like go out and just do the craziest stuff. So we tried this diet chocolate soda, and it was disgusting. It was like it was literally carbonated.
Ew.
So we took it outside and. One of us would toss it to the other one, and the other would bash it with a baseball bat in the backyard and just smash it everywhere. And then we went inside and got kitchen knives and went outside and threw them to each other and would chop them in half as they would come to us.
Wow.
We took those kitchen knives outside, and some of this stuff you may not know.
Yeah, so see, I'm finding out about this.
You're going to learn about this stuff.
Yeah, I'm finding out now. Yeah.
Welcome to my life. So we used to go in the backyard. We had a shed. And our friends would come over to our house since we were the unsupervised house. Like all our friends would come over and we would run inside and get all the knives and stuff. And we would go out to the shed and I'm like looking at my dad being like, how much trouble am I going to be in? We would go inside in the shed and we started a club. And we were like, if any of the other clubs, there weren't any other clubs. So we just make this up. We're like, if any of the other clubs come around here, we set up like tactics of like, all right, when you run out of the door, you go this way and you go that way. And then we're going to go around and you're going to circle around and do a pincer move. And we're going to flank them and get them. But that was just us running around the backyard with sharp knives.
How in the world are you two still alive?
I do not know. Man, we used to go down the road and we would ride down. You remember, was it on Durham out there? Had that hill that would come down on Darling Street.
Oh, Lord, yes.
So we would ride up that hill and then come down it on our bikes. And this was like heavy traffic. And we would ride down that thing and then come around the corner. And there was this ramp that was a natural ramp that was built into the road. And we would just jump over that thing all day long.
Were you wearing helmets?
No. No, this was the 90s.
Not. You didn't wear bicycle helmets back in those days. You drank from the hose.
Yep.
You know,
I actually ended up jumping. I was trying to jump off of my bike and do this cool land where I'd jump up that little ramp, jump off my bike and land on my feet. Mm-hmm. No. When you go up the hill, the laws of physics tell you that your body's going to keep going backwards. You don't straighten up. So I let go of the bike and I just went backwards and landed flat on my back on the ground.
Knocked the breath out of you, didn't it?
Yep. Yeah, we did a bunch of dumb stuff, man.
I remember a story about like that with your babysitter and you climbing the tree.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I climbed up a tree. It was about 15 feet high, probably.
Something like that. And you were
I was in gymnastics. Young. Yeah, I was in gymnastics, too. And I tried to. So I think I've told the story before because I've said the same thing before. But if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you. And feel free to subscribe. But if you're not, if you're listening to this, you're not going to be able to watch this. So if you want to, go on YouTube. So anyway, the tree branch is here. And I jump out to it and I grab it and my feet swung out from under me and I lost my grip and I fell all the way down to the ground. And when I landed with my hands flat like that and my face hit the ground and my mouth was full of dirt and my wrist ended up getting separated from the rest of my arm.
Yeah, he broke the growth plate.
Yeah. Mm. So it was literally like this bone was going over here and this bone was over here. So they're next to each other.
And I had to wrap his arm in a magazine. It was a newspaper. No, a newspaper.
And a nice bandage.
Yep. And because that was what I went through. First aid training every other year on my job. I was there for almost 20 years. And I got him to the hospital, and the doctor looked at him and said, "Who wrapped this arm?" I said, "I did." He said, "You did a great job." Well, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. That's a Freudian slip. Yeah, I don't get to say that phrase very often.
Right. But yeah, no, there was all kinds of stuff. Like I think we ended up confessing to you once that we used to like, this is going to look real bad on me for people who know me. We used to steal from the convenience store down the street.
Ooh, what'd you steal?
It was like
Vietnamese people.
Well, I don't remember their race, but we would steal Pringles and candy and
how
like
did
that.
You steal it? So like, how did you not get caught?
One of them. Oh, all right.
Here, I'm taking notes.
Here's how you do it. So one of them, I actually took a whole can of Pringles and I dropped it down my pants and it fell down my pant leg. And I was just like walking around with it just in the bottom of my pant leg.
Did you have like parachute pants
on? Yeah. This was the 90s.
Oh, I can see this so clearly in my mind.
They were so baggy.
So you couldn't
but
see them.
We also, whenever we waited at the bus stop for school, we would go to, this was a different convenience store down the street, and we would walk around and we would have competitions to see who could steal the most stuff. And I would go in with like a big, big puffy jacket and just fill all my pockets with stuff. I actually ended up getting caught.
He went in with a big puffy jacket in Houston in the heat. And I'm sure they caught him.
I'm sure it was cool outside at that point. I wasn't that dumb. But we used to do that all the time.
For some reason, I'm really just imagining you with like this big, huge, puffy, like purple coat.
It was white.
Like, huge pant. Like, that's just what I'm imagining.
That's all I wore.
Like little kids.
That's it. Yep.
Rob, how old were you?
How old was I when we were going to, was it Hogg Middle School?
Yeah.
Hogg Middle School?
Yeah. Yep. Hogg.
Wow. Okay.
So James Hogg.
It was, I was probably 11, 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you must have been. Yeah, because when she went to the hospital, you were 10.
Right.
So you were 11 or 12.
Yeah. So I don't know if we were acting out or what, but that's we just were doing stuff because we knew we couldn't get caught.
They used to love it when I'd come home from work, though, especially when I was out with my partner, Moose, bounty hunting.
His partner, as in partner for crime, crime fighter, not his partner of like they were doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You have to qualify that nowadays.
Welcome to 2023.
Yeah. Anyway, and we'd come back and if we caught somebody, they I don't know. How did you guys know?
How did we know what?
That we got caught somebody and got money.
I don't know.
Because you always used to know.
Randy always asked you for money.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, and I'd come back and
you'd have like a bonus or something.
Yeah, I'd get my percentage for catching the guy, and we'd go to the arcade and the
Malibu
tracks. Yeah, the Malibu. And all
the Malibu
stuff.
Was an arcade. It was a giant castle, and they had like go-karts outside, and it was just like, it was like Chuck E. Cheese or Dave and Buster's, but bigger.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was the first place we always went when I came back with any money. Is it okay? Get dressed. We're going to.
We were super excited about that.
This is just sounding like Stranger Things to me.
Just, like, oh, it gets stranger.
I know.
Me.
I guess just think like with arcade.
Well, I guess
and everything.
Maybe early '90s at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're thinking this was what 94, 95.
She went in the hospital in 92. Died 96, so anywhere in between.
Yeah, 92 to 96.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw this episode, but when I initially told everybody that, like, about what happened,
Shut up.
Excuse me. He was talking to the coaster, not me. I said, I was like, yeah, she was in the hospital in a coma for 4 years or what, and then she died or whatever. And then, because it's like, it's been 30 years. So mm-hmm. I was like, it's normal to me. But they were like, you said that like it didn't mean anything. And I'm like, no, it's fine. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, if you guys have any questions or any thoughts or anything, like Shane's literally hadn't said anything. Micah's so a little bit like, have you guys got any?
I just want to know, how do you become a bounty hunter? I thought you would have to like go to some kind of boot camp.
No, actually, I went to the NABEA, National Association of Bail Enforcement Agents Academy, and which is taught by a guy named Bob Burton, who, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, there was a movie called Wanted Dead or Alive with Steve McQueen, and he mm-hmm. plays Ralph Thorson, who was back in the 40s and 50s. He's the guy who brought bounty hunting back to... Mm-hmm. Back to active use in America. Mm-hmm. And I went to the academy with and Bob Burton was his lieutenant. So I went to the academy with Bob Burton as a teacher. And you go out and you actually operate under the, what they call the Bounty Hunter Act of 1872. And
that's a long time ago.
Yep. And there are, I haven't checked recently, but last time I did, there were 6 states that have altered it. So mm-hmm. in other words, the other 44 mm-hmm. still operate under the law from 1872. It says basically you can do anything you want to, burglarize somebody's house, catch them on the Sabbath, you know, whatever. And actually it words it that way too. You can catch them out. You can
I'm work sure the Sabbath was more observed back then than it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, 150 years ago. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, but you can do anything you want to catch this guy. And a lot of people take that to heart who do this business or do that business. I haven't done it in a long time, but we did it for 5 years and caught quite a bit. We only worked, my partner and I only worked for 5 different bail agents, bail bond companies mm-hmm. in Houston. And I mean, there's like hundreds of bail bond agencies in Houston.
I remember one time you called one of them. And you called one of the people that you were looking for, and you were trying to find out if they lived there or where their address was. And you called and you were like, hey, and you had one of your accents and you were like, hey, we're trying to get a hold of so-and-so. Their car's ready at the shop. We need to know if they're going to come pick it up. And you basically were looking for confirmation that they were there.
Oh, yeah.
And then you hadn't even hung up the phone yet. And Randy and I were like, were they there? Did you get a hold of them? And you were like, shut up.
Damn kids.
Yeah, we did that. I did that a couple of times. In fact, I did that with a guy. We went to a bounty hunter association meeting. And
what is a bounty hunter association meeting look like?
Well, the initials for that is BHAM. BHAM. That's a BHAM meeting.
Yeah, they didn't feed you those, which wasn't
any good. Didn't get any ham.
No, you have like I said, with the what you actually get is certification as BEA agent, a bail enforcement agent. And they are associations and groups and stuff like that to get together. Anyway, we got together with a bunch of them here in Houston there at one point, and this guy was telling me that he was trying to find a guy who was there in Houston. I don't remember where he was from. And he went to he worked for a butcher, you know, meat market. And I said, so what does he do there? He said, well, he's a meat cutter. I said, okay, well, let's find out. So I picked up the phone, called the place, and said, are your meat cutters there today? He said, yeah, they sure are. Okay, how long are they going to be there? Till 7 p.m. Great, that's what I needed. Thanks. I looked at the guy and said, all right, let's go get him. Said, No. This guy's never going to make it in this business.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah, nowadays you can't give away any information as an employer. Like when I was working somewhere, I'd have people call and they'd be like, hey, is this person there? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't tell you that. Yeah, literally, you even if they were sitting right next to me, I'm like, right, I can't tell you that.
Can't, you can't give away any kind of information nowadays.
Yeah.
You don't put anything online either.
All right, I won't put this podcast online. We're just going to record it for posterity and that's
they'll,
it.
They'll hear all about us.
That's the whole purpose.
That's what they want you to think.
That's what I want you to think.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, right. As long as you're in charge.
I'm in charge. I talked about it on one of the last episodes. I was like, I like to be in charge. I want to tell people what to do.
Okay.
That's cool, though. I think I would like bounty hunting. Is that weird to say? I don't think I'd be good at it, but I think that'd
be your next like career.
It's actually not a bad job. However, you have to. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't you say it takes a lot of research? Because you have to go get like court documents and stuff like that.
You got to do a lot of surveillance. You know, watching people's houses because. You know, okay, this guy, his mother put up the collateral for his bail, so he's eventually going to show up here, either give her the money or try and talk her into letting him split.
Right.
So we'll just hang out and wait here, or and you have to go down to the courthouse, and I don't know what they do here in Illinois. I know in Texas it was 10 cents a page. You could get somebody's entire criminal history for 10 cents a page.
I think you're going to win the award for hitting your microphone the most.
That goes. It's a
okay. Yes.
Did you get it out of your system?
I got it out of my system now. That's what happens when you're animated, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. I we always hit them. That, and we put up a counter on the screen that's like, this is how many times you've hit it.
Oh, okay.
But then Micah was like, no, that one didn't count. So I'd take it away.
Yeah.
So welcome to the Bounty Hunter podcast, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta tell these guys about the chicken incident.
Mm. Oh, about me trying to jump a chicken?
No, not you jumping a chicken.
You've done that before?
I tried to jump a chicken on my bike. It was a dead one that got run over, and I tried to jump it. No, and I was a kid, and that was dumb. But yeah, I tried to jump over it with my bike, but my front tire hit it and stopped, and I just went over the handlebars.
I didn't know about that.
This was in the middle of the street.
I didn't know
What about are you talking that. About, a chicken?
We went, you and me and Randy, in the little pickup truck, went to Popeye's Chicken.
Oh, that chicken. I was thinking of chicken.
They always had specials on chicken, so we'd swing by there and grab a bunch of chicken.
When you say a bunch of chicken, we would get like a 40-piece for the three of us.
It was like 20 or 30, something like that. Yeah, there was just you and me and Randy and Mom. And so we were on our way out and turned onto 11th Street and then had to turn onto Shepherd going down to the house, and the door pops open. Randy's next to me. Rob's on the outside.
This is a Chevy S10, so we're all crunched in the front.
A little bitty in the Chevy cab of this truck. Pickup truck. And Rob is going out the door. I reach over Randy, grab him, and he grabs the chicken.
No, you didn't.
I did.
He's holding on to this huge box of chicken, and I'm trying to hold on to him to keep
while
him in
you're
the
making
car,
a turn.
While I'm making a left hand turn.
Oh my gosh.
And Randy is just busting a gut.
So
he thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen.
Have you ever zoned out while you're in a car and like I was like, oh, we're home, and I just reached open and grabbed the door handle and popped it open while he was in the middle of this turn, wasn't even paying attention to what was going on.
Oh my god.
The door popped open. I just almost fell out.
It was the smell of that chicken that got you.
Oh, and I think we lost one piece of chicken.
Yes, we did.
I think it fell out.
We lost one leg
down the street.
Oh no.
Yeah. And so the dogs got deprived of one leg bone.
Oh, yeah, we had two golden retrievers.
No, we didn't.
One was a golden retriever, one was a husky. Or not husky. No. What was it?
Max was a
golden retriever and
shepherd. No, he wasn't. He was a German shepherd.
All right, well, then you tell it, because I don't know. Dusty, I don't know any of the details.
Dusty was the mutt from next door. Remember, you guys had to climb under the house because the people moved out in the middle of the night on the landlord?
I don't remember where either one of them came from. I just remember that I loved them with my whole heart.
Yeah, I got Max from the SPCA.
I thought he was part lab.
No.
I thought you said he thought he was a golden retriever.
Yeah, golden retriever, part lab.
Oh.
And then Dusty was like, she was real skinny, like one of those running dogs.
The people next door, as many people did back in those days, packed up in the middle of the night and disappeared on their landlord. And you kept hearing these noises under the house. So you and Randy got under the house. Oh, you should have seen them when they came out from under that house. Anyway, you guys went under the house and you had a mama dog and six puppies.
So see, I feel like either I'm remembering incorrectly or you are, because I remember climbing under our house to get a bunch of dogs out from under there.
No, it was.
And we found the placenta and we thought it was like a rubber ball and we were playing with it.
Oh, well, that may have happened later, but the dogs were under the house next door.
Yeah, I don't remember Dusty. I don't remember where she came from.
Dusty was one of the pups, and we took mama and all the puppies to the SPCA, And luckily, there was an SPCA, huge SPCA office right down the street from our house.
Right.
And so we took them all down there, and you guys kept one puppy, and that was Dusty.
I do not remember that at all.
Dusty was the biggest coward I've ever seen in my life.
But she was fast.
Yeah. Max, on the other hand, he was, I called him Max because he was maximum dog. He was all the dog that he could be.
And, I never knew that.
Yeah, that's what I used to call him. Anyway, and yeah, nobody would, because our yard, we had a house that we lived in, and it was a two plot property. And so there was the house and this huge yard next to it that had nothing. It was all fenced in and everything. And Max was out there, and anybody got near that fence? He would start yelping and yapping and barking and everything.
You ended up breaking the window from knocking on it, telling him to shut up. Yeah, you cracked the window.
Now, that's entirely possible.
Because you would knock on it with your ring.
Yeah,
that you had.
I probably did that, yes. Yeah. It was shut up, dog. It's the middle of the night. But, yeah, we'd go out there and we'd give them. I'm not supposed to do that because it's bad for them, but we used to give them chicken bones.
Yeah,
because
they could choke on it.
Yes.
I remember we had a dog named BB. When we were here, moved up here, and one of us gave him a chicken bone, and then we were like, oh, he shouldn't have that. So then we like tried to take it from him, and he literally growled at us like he was going to bite our hand off.
I'm sure.
Yep.
And I was like, you little, but I was like, you know what? If you choke on it, it's on you.
Yeah. He was a great little dog. He walked out he was out running around the backyard chasing birds and stuff one day. And the next day he's laying in the middle of the yard dead. Aww. It was just weird.
I mean, that is kind of strange because he was very old.
He was, he was, I don't know, 15, 16, something like
that.
He was like,
oh, well, I mean,
Sessie's age.
And we named him, like everybody knows who Sessie is. You guys know Sessie, right? we named him BB because we had let my youngest brother, is my stepbrother, but we don't recognize the step in our family.
Yes, we don't recognize steps in our family. You're either our kid or you're not.
he was the youngest, and we let him name the dog, and he wanted to name it Black Beauty. And that's a girl's name, but it was a boy dog, so we just started calling him BB.
Yeah, he was I remember with that dog that Mikey met this kid and brought him home, and they were playing football in the backyard. And BB thought that the kid was attacking Mikey, so he ran over there and bit him on the ankle.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I had to take the poor kid home and explain to his parents. And luckily, his parents were cool. It's it's a dog. He'll be fine.
Oh, good.
So, we'll pay for rabies shots. A dog. Don't worry about it. He'll be all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I get that in writing?
Yeah, I'm out of here then. So let's see. What else can I talk about with you? Oh, I got talked about your eye.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's so obvious. Yeah, when he was little.
We've told the story before, but I want to hear it from your side.
Yeah.
Because this is a different side that I've heard a couple times, but I was unconscious, so I don't remember.
Yeah, you were very under.
You said I was like a wet dish rag.
Yeah, kind of like that. And anyway, so he was at
pre-K
daycare, something like that.
Just pre-K.
Pre-K, okay. And somehow the nap in the carpet on the floor matched exactly with the tread in his gym shoe. So when he put his foot down, they locked together.
Oh.
I've never heard of it happening before, but that's what happened. And he went down and he hit the corner of the table with, which one is it?
My left eye.
It's the other one.
No, it's this one. I have a giant scar.
It looked like you got a scar on the other side. Oh, okay. It's gone now. Anyway,
it's just my bad eyebrow hygiene.
Okay. Anyway, so he goes down and he catches his eye right there on the eyebrow on the edge of the table.
Is it like right on the corner?
Yeah, right on the corner. And you had a beauty of a cut. You could see all the way to your skull. So we got notification and I raced over there. Well, both of us did. And I got there and he is covered in blood because head wounds bleed bad but he is bleeding everywhere. And I picked him up, and rather than take him to the ER, I still don't understand why I did this, but rather than take him to the ER, I took him to his pediatrician's office. And I walked into the pediatrician's office. I mean, they're crowded as all get out. Mm-hmm. And I'm carrying this kid. He's got blood all over him. And now I've got blood all over me. And I walked up to the counter and I said, can I see the doctor? And the lady behind the counter, this is one of those Bill Ingvall, here's your sign things. The lady looks at me and goes, do you have an appointment? I held him out and I go, do I need one? Next thing I know, we're in the back room and she's looking at his head. And He got stitches and...
It was 21 stitches.
Yep. They had to close the inside, then close the outside. Yep. You were not happy.
Yeah. And you said it looked like I had another mouth above my
eye. Yeah. It was that deep. Like I said, it went all the way to your skull. So you... And if it had been a half an inch lower... I'd be wearing a
pirate patch. Sometimes I kind of wish that I would have fallen like a millisecond later.
You know,
you want to be blind in one eye?
No, I just thought it'd be cool to wear like. Arr.
Well, you can wear one.
Hey, Rob.
Nobody's stopping you.
You know, fun fact about those patches. You know, pirates didn't wear those because they were missing an eye.
They wore them so they could see below decks.
No, they wore them because when they were fighting, they'd be shooting off guns and cannons and stuff. And the flash from the cannons, especially if it was dark, would blind your eyes. Oh. So they take that thing off and they could see again. They'd put it over the other eye and I gotta quit hitting that thing. They'd put it over the other eye and then that eye would straighten out and they could see for a while out of this one. But they
also used it to go below decks too. So, cause like one eye would stay in the dark and then when they go below decks, they'd switch it.
Yeah. It was so that the eyes could see differently.
Yeah. Cause they didn't have like cell phones where they could flip on their flashlight or whatever.
Right. Exactly. And wait a minute. Abraham Lincoln said they did. I saw it online.
I think they didn't have cell phones because they just couldn't afford a data plan out on the water.
That's fair.
Probably not.
Not on the amount of booty that they would get.
Yeah.
Well, they would. They could put the cell towers on top of the lighthouses, and
but that's still really far. Anyway, this is getting really off the rails. Do you guys have any questions or anything that you want to? Any stories you want to hear about or anything? Like, and it doesn't have to be about me. It could just be about any like his life. Like, we're just he's our guest. Be our guest. I'm not paying for that song.
You're not singing it either. So.
Right. I was mumbling it, really.
What song?
What?
What song?
Exactly.
Okay.
You think you have some questions, Shane?
There's a lot of deep and serious questions I could ask, but I don't even think we have time for all that right now.
Well, we've only been going for like 25 minutes.
25 minutes?
Yeah.
Have we been doing this for 25 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, I know you were an atheist that became a Christian, so I'm kind of curious about that process.
My mother drug us, me and my three brothers, to church every Sunday morning. It was a Strathmore Methodist Church in Detroit. Biggest church I've ever seen in my life. And problem is... They never sat down and, I mean, they taught you all the stuff, you know, the books, the Bible and the stories and this and that. And they never made sure it meant anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it didn't to me. It was just one unholy mess to me. I don't remember much of my childhood, little bitty snippets of my childhood. I don't know why I don't remember it. My parents are dead, so I can't ask them. And my brothers are about
sounds like it's time for a seance.
Yeah, my brothers are about as helpful as screen doors on a submarine. So, anyway, so finally I get to be, I don't know, I was like 15, 16, and I went to my parents and said, look, this stuff is one unholy mess. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't want to go there anymore. And before I even got the words out, Mom and Dad said, okay, well, if you don't want to go anymore, being the good liberal parents of the 50s and 60s and 70s that they were back then, they said, well, if you don't want to go anymore, you don't have to. And boom, I was gone. And I did everything I could except go to church for the next almost 20 years. And then I get married. I have two kids. And you're gonna have to do an episode one day about God having the right people in the right place, because I've got a whole life full of stories of that. Anyway, we're living in our apartment, and these people show up one day and knock on the door, and they said, "Hi, we're from Cottage Grove Baptist Church," and Larry and Wally.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know the story.
Yeah, and they said, "Would you let us come by and pick your kids up for Sunday school on Sunday?" Now, I was an atheist, but I wasn't an idiot. If I'm going to get a couple hours of free babysitting on Sunday mornings, buddy, you better believe it. So, yeah, sure, come pick them up. And they came and got them, sure enough, Sunday morning. They showed up with the van and picked them up, took them to church, got to sleep in for a couple more hours. And the kids came home and they had all kinds of questions, and they're asking stuff about the stories they heard and the songs they sang and all this. And I was very, what's the best term for it? Under-equipped to answer any of those questions. And so they kept going to church. They came by every Sunday and picked them up. And they kept going to church, and they'd come home and they're telling us about this little church building. It looks like the little church on Little House in the Prairie. You know, it's just so cool, and the people love you so much and all this stuff. The next thing I know, their bio mom, the woman I was married to at the time, all of a sudden she wants to go to church. Wait a minute. She was raised in a denomination where you didn't watch TV, you didn't own a radio, you didn't dance, women didn't do their hair.
Did they live in the Footloose town?
Something like that, pretty close. Problem was, the pastor of their church had two daughters, and they did all of them things.
I remember you telling me that about, she went in the basement one time and saw they were down there putting on makeup, watching TV. Yeah,
putting on the makeup, they got the TV down there, the stereo's off in the corner. So, yeah, what are you talking about, dude? Anyway, and she was, I don't know what they taught her, I really don't, because she never discussed it with me, but if you started talking about the book of Revelations or end times or anything like that, she would get sick to her stomach and leave the room. Literally, physically sick to her. I don't know what they taught her about that stuff, but she wouldn't. She would have nothing to do with it. And now all of a sudden, this woman wants to go to church. Something's going on here. So, yep, next Sunday morning, she goes off with the kids, and I'm sitting there by myself watching cartoons. And
watching cartoons?
Yeah, it's a Sunday morning cartoon. And
you were like 30-something back then?
So, yeah, right around 30, a little over maybe. And they come home, and oh, now she's on them. I say, oh, do you feel the spirit when you get there? It looks just like that little church on the Little House on the Prairie. Was,
that's where they shot it, for those of you who know.
Yeah. So that went on for a while. And all of a sudden, now she starts going all the time because she's helping them fix the place up and working this and doing that.
Wasn't she singing songs and stuff too all the time?
Yeah. She'd come home and she'd be singing the songs from.
That was me.
She'd be singing the songs from that they did at church that day and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't have any problem with her going to church at first, but pretty soon I got tired of being there by myself. And I complained to her about it. And she said, well, why don't you come with me? And I agreed to go. That was the weirdest thing, because what I actually believed at the time was God wasn't real. The Bible was just a book written by men. I had no use for him, wasn't looking for him, didn't want to find him, you know, and all of that stuff. And I went to the church, and it looked just like they said. It looked like the little church on the Little House on the Prairie. And I got in there, and I had been to Methodist church, which was non-evangelical at all. And I got in there, and I'd never heard an invitation before, you know, none of that stuff. And
an invitation, for those of you who don't know, is whenever they invite you to come down to the altar and to accept the Lord as your Savior.
Yes, thank you. And so I'm sitting in church, couldn't tell you what he talked about, couldn't tell you what songs he sang, but Danny did the invitation, and I ended up in the bathroom crying.
Give it crybaby.
Yeah. And it really got to be a problem, because, you know, what is going on here? You know, if what he's telling about is true, then everything I believe is a lie. And I was really confluffled. And so the funniest thing out of it was I went back the next Sunday. That was the biggest miracle of the whole thing, because I had questions I needed to get answered. And so I went back and went through the whole service again. Don't remember what he talked about. Didn't listen to the music. We got to the end, and I ended up in the bathroom again. Only this time I'm crying like something's broken. And it was.
Like actual sobbing.
Yeah, actual. Yeah. And it was it. Well, I guess the best way to put it is God touched me in a way I couldn't deny, you know. And turns out that I don't know how many people were in the Cottage Grove at the time, but there was, I don't know, 50, 60 people going there. And it turned out that they had been praying for me every day for months. And so I ended up, went home, and I couldn't get over this thing. And I like conflicted inside myself, you know, and I'm just fighting my way through this thing. And I'm sitting there, and I flipped a chair over, and I punched a hole in the wall. And
this is my favorite part of the story.
You probably remember that.
Well, no, you sent us out to play.
Oh, that's right.
I don't remember this, but this is what you told me. But yeah,
this is, I was literally just going nuts, man. I mean, this can't be true. It is, but you know, I'm feeling in here. I know it's true. And finally, I get to the point where I just hollered out, "I want what you people have. I want Jesus." And boom, everything stopped. It all just went away. And we raced down the aisle the next Sunday to get confirmed, and it was there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I learned something too. I don't know if you remember this part or not, but there was this lady, this older lady, like 75, 80 years old, and she had been in the church her whole life, the same church, and she had taught women, and she'd had Bible study classes, and she was the church secretary and all this kind of stuff. And so she and I, my wife and I, are in the pastor's study getting instructions for our baptism. And as somebody comes up banging on the door, and he opens the door, and it's her. He goes, "Is there something wrong?" And she goes, "No, I realized I've been living a lie. I don't know Christ." And I mean, she's been, you know, done everything in the church.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden she finds out that she discovers that she hasn't really been a believer all this time. So I thought that was kind of cool, too, that happened on the day that we got baptized. Mm-hmm. But it just, God showed me in ways I couldn't deny that he was real. And from then on, I knew that the Bible was real and it meant everything that it said. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I've taken Bible verses apart and put them back together because it's part of anthropology is linguistics. And I love doing that. I take the Bible verses apart and I tear them apart and put them back together again and see what they actually say. And it's fascinating. It's a lot more in depth than what you read in the books we have today. Mm-hmm. So it's.
Yeah, I remember you always having like concordances and references.
Oh, yeah.
You would look from one and go back to the other one and like just study, like go word by word and like try to figure out exactly what that word's supposed to mean.
Yeah,
In fact, in the context that it was written.
Yeah, I have one on my phone right now.
Of course you do.
Yeah, it's this great thing. A guy had it online for, I don't know, decades. And he finally started selling it for $2.99. It was free all that time, but he's finally had to start selling it to make a little bit of money at it. But $2.99, I don't think you're going to make a heck of a lot of money.
Well, it depends on how many times you sell it.
Yeah,
well, that's true. But it's taking apart the different verses and putting them back together. Like the verse that says, "Let there be light." That's not what it says. It's an okay translation, but that's not what it says.
Yeah, because it was initially written in Hebrew, right?
Yeah, this was the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, Chaldean, and Greek, or Hebrew, Chaldean, and Aramaic. Sorry. Right. Greeks didn't know anything about Greeks back in the Old Testament.
And then they found the Rosetta Stone, and then it kind of helped translate, but part of it was missing, so they had to extrapolate to get the rest of the translations right.
Something along those lines. The Rosetta Stone was forgotten what three languages were on it, but because of that, they could translate things into other languages that they didn't know. But like I said, the "Let there be light" is not the verse. It's a lot stronger than that. What that verse actually says is "Let light become," because light has never existed before.
That gave me the chills just now.
Light had never existed before. God doesn't need light to see, and he doesn't need trillions of photons slamming into his eyeballs at 186,000 miles per second. But his creation did. So he set that up so it would work that way. And he set the speed of light as the speed limit of the universe. So,
yeah, there are a lot of people who think that the reason the speed of light is the speed limit is because that's as fast as the processors can run that are simulating our existence.
Would you like a red pill or a blue pill?
Depends. What are they going to do? JK, I don't take pills.
That's good.
That was that I remember. I've heard that story a bunch of times, but it was there was a little bit more to it that I've never heard before. So I really appreciate you asking that.
Yeah.
That got a little serious, and it's quite off topic and brand from the podcast, but that's good though. I think it's just my nonsense. We can talk about whatever we want.
That's right. It's nonsense. We can talk all the nonsense we want to.
Right. So there was something that he was saying earlier that I was going to ask you, like, your thoughts on it, because it's like, so whenever I fell and busted my head open, you deal with kids on a regular basis that were about that age, because I was around four. That's funny,
because while he was telling the story, I was thinking about what I would do in that situation.
Do you think you would freeze, or would you actually be able to do something? Or?
No, I'd for sure be able to do something.
You think so? Even if, like, there's just blood just pouring out of some kid's head? I'm the one
responsible for all these kids.
That's when you're like, get an adult.
If I'm not going to do anything, who is? Right. You know?
Yeah, I could see you just doing that.
Well, I was actually thinking about, because we have to do, like, blood and pathogen trainings and stuff, how to deal with, like, blood.
Yes, I remember those.
So I was, like, thinking how different it probably was from that time to, like, now.
Yeah.
Like, protocol to deal with.
Back then they were like, yeah, just drag his head across the floor. Like, it's fine.
That, but
here's some salt. Salt, pack it in the wound.
So speaking of that story, so I distinctly remember something that happened, and you said that it did not happen. So I'm curious what the science is behind that.
Okay.
So Shane, it seriously looks like you're standing on your knees right now. Like, it looks like you're on your knees just chilling right there. So I distinctly remember waking up one time. And there was a black man in front of me in a blue shirt holding those brown paper towels against my head.
This is when you hit your
head? Yeah, after I busted my head open.
That might have been before Mom and I got there.
Okay, so I wasn't still on the floor?
You were...
Where was I when you got me?
Somebody, I don't remember who.
Because I feel like I was in, like, the nurse's office or something.
It might have been. It's somebody, as I recall, handed you to me.
Okay.
And it might have been the nurse, but yeah, there might have been a bunch of people there before we got there.
So yeah, I just remember, like, you know how you, like, in a movie where it's like you slowly see it open a little bit? That's literally what happened. It was like probably 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it was a black man in a blue button-up shirt, and he was pressing those brown paper towels. I told you the story, the and you were like, those ones that don't absorb anything?
Literally. Yeah, they're garbage.
Are you running away from your microphone? What are you doing all the way back there?
I'm relaxing. I'm sitting back and enjoying myself.
Okay. All right. No, you can. I was just messing with you.
Okay.
Because you look like you're running away. Is he still in frame?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I'm still in frame.
So there was one. That was one thing. And then another time I woke up. And don't interrupt me, because I know you're going to, because you're going to tell me, no, that didn't happen. So let me finish before you do that.
Okay.
So I distinctly.
No!
Dang it. I knew it. I knew it didn't happen.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, I distinctly remember waking up, and they were putting a syringe in my forehead.
Yes.
And I screamed.
Yes.
You said I didn't scream.
Well, I don't know if you remember exactly if you screamed or not, but I would have. In fact, come to think of it, I got a cut in my leg and they had to do that and I screamed.
You sissy.
Exactly.
Like numbing stuff?
I don't know. Well, I mean,
they were putting stuff in your head to do the stitches.
Yeah, because I don't know if they were, like, numbing it, or if they were, like, spraying, like, cleaning solution in there or whatever. No,
they were putting the, like, if they were doing the injections, they were putting the numbing stuff in there, right. So you wouldn't feel all those stitches going through your head.
I was unconscious. I wasn't going to feel any of it anyway.
Well, you couldn't have been too unconscious. You saw them putting their hands.
Literally, that was another one of those 1 second things and I was out.
Oh, okay.
But you were unconscious for that long?
I guess. Well, I busted my head open. There was a mouth above my eye.
You probably had a brain injury.
That's probably what happened.
If you were literally, like, unconscious for that long, you should have had a CT or something.
I may have. I don't know what happened.
Not that I recall, no.
So maybe that's what's wrong with me.
I think your doctor probably examined you and said, kind of like the one did with Randy, oh, yeah, you're okay.
You remember when I used to get, like, real bad headaches and stuff when I was a kid?
I used to get, like, migraines.
It was after that, right? Yeah, it was definitely after that.
Oh, for sure.
After that.
Because, like, it happened, like, a couple times we would go get Hart's Chicken. Is that what that place was called?
Popeyes.
No, no. There was another place called Hart's or something. Hart's Chicken.
So you guys ate a lot of chicken.
Right. That's all we ever ate.
Fried chicken was our motto.
No, it was Chinese food was our thing.
Yes, that's true. We went to Golden Gate Chinese Buffet 3 or 4 times a week.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was why I ended up as big as I was with the relationship that I had with food. It was just like, because like.
Yes, and I blame myself for that because I did that to him and his brother.
Well, it's kind of understandable, honestly, because you would go to work for sometimes 18 to 20 hours a day. Uh-huh. You would come home at like, sometimes you would work overnight and you'd come home 5, 6 p.m. And then you'd be like, all right, I don't want to cook because I've literally been working all day. And comment below if you can relate to this. And you would, go ahead. You got to comment on the video. then you'd be like, I don't want to cook today. So then you would take us to the Chinese restaurant because it was a buffet and it was like all you could eat.
Yeah.
And what's funny is they knew us so well.
They knew what you wanted.
They would. They only had. We loved orange chicken. Oh man, I got one. We had orange. We loved orange chicken, but they only served it during lunch, and we would usually go during dinner. So they would save it and bring it out to dinner during dinner to our table, and then just give us a big old plate of it.
That's nice.
That's really nice of them. Yeah.
So, but they knew us by name.
The owners knew us. They knew our names. They knew what the situation was, and they were helping me take care of you guys.
Right.
I remember a couple times we went there, and we were there a lot.
Yeah. Three to four times a week, literally. Yeah, that's not an exaggeration.
And we'd go in there and we'd get done and they'd say, oh, no, you no pay today.
Oh, you know, that's that kind really of stuff. Nice.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah. They would comp us meals just to make things easier for us.
And then I remember one story about we went in and we sat down. We had just gotten our food and we sat down and then all of a sudden I hear,
psh. Oh no.
And I'm like, what happened? Cause I thought, first of all, I thought it was just like the air coming out of the chair.
The cushion. Yeah. Yeah.
But then it kept going and going. And I'm like, what is happening? All of a sudden he stands up and runs away. And I was like, what in the world? He goes, I'll be right back or whatever. So he, like 20 minutes later, I'm like, let me go check on him. So I go to the bathroom and he's literally in the bathroom with his pants down. I see his underwear and he's just splashing water on his leg and his leg is orange. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, my mace went off in my pocket.
Oh no.
It did too. It went off in my pocket, burned my leg. I had to go to the ER.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I think we went to the ER. They had to take skin from his other leg.
Yeah. No. They had to, what is the oil that they put on there for that?
Capsaicin? No, that's the hot stuff. I don't know.
I forgot.
Some kind of oil.
Yeah, essential.
Let's just call
oil.
It baby oil. Yeah. You big baby.
Yeah, okay. Baby oil. Anyway, they put oil on my leg and scraped it off trying to get this stuff off my leg and it burned.
That's awful.
Yeah, I've seen movies where they have somebody, the guy sprays the stuff in his face and he's like, that tastes pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
no, I don't think so.
Some of those brands and stuff, you can actually use it for that. You can put it on like eggs and stuff like that, and you can actually eat it.
If you get the pepper spray,
right? Not mace.
No, if you get the capsaicin gas, that's gonna
right.
Yeah, I got to do that in the Army when I went in the Army, and I got to do that in a little.
Was that the one where everybody's in the room?
Yeah, and you take your
mask off,
and you have to take your mask off, and the drill sergeant will stand there in your face until you inhale.
Yep.
And then they went, luckily, my older brother had already been in there and told me, whatever you do, don't touch your face.
Yeah, because you're like, it's going to be awful, just don't touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it. And it was the middle of winter. It was January or February at Fort Knox. And we're going outside, and the cold hits this stuff, and it like just freezes it to your face, which is bad, which is worse than it was. But there's guys on the ground, and they're taking snow, and they're packing it on their faces, trying to get this stuff off. And every time they touch it, it makes it worse.
Right. Yeah, the water makes it worse.
Yeah, if you just leave it alone, it'll go away. Yeah. And not quick, but it'll go away. But if you keep messing with it, it starts all over again. And yeah, it was a mess. But yeah, that stuff burned all the way down my leg, and I had to scrape it all off. And didn't carry one in my pocket after that.
I'm sure not.
but I don't believe you remembered that one.
Yeah, there's some.
That sounds like a core memory.
Yeah.
there's some crazy. I've always wanted to talk to you about like stuff that I remember and things like that.
Well, just go
to
for see. It.
I don't have any or like right off the top of my head like that. It's stuff that has to spark the memories.
Okay.
Just to get your like perspective of it, we need to go out to dinner or something one time and just like talk about all that kind of stuff. Me, you, and Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just talk about all the
stuff. I just told Randy when I saw him at the birthday party. Yes, we had a birthday party for one of my grandkids the other day at Rob's house.
At my house, yeah.
And I told him he and I need to go out for lunch here shortly because we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
And
I think it'd be cool for the three of us to go out. We haven't actually done it. We haven't done that in years and years.
Yeah, we haven't.
You want to hear something crazy? Okay, here's just a memory that I had. So recently, how long ago was Popeyes put in Carbondale?
It's been a minute.
It's been like 5 years, maybe.
Okay, so about 5 years ago, they put Popeyes in, and it was packed for a while. And then I finally went back, and literally when I ordered some, the first bite that I took, I was like, I'm back in Houston. Aww. It tasted exactly nostalgia. The same. Yeah, I was like, holy crap, this is weird. Because it was so, like, just took me right back there.
Yeah, they would sell, like he was saying earlier, they would sell like 20 pieces for $11.
Yeah.
Which is cheap for now fried chicken.
Now you get like one chicken thigh for $11.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And that's why mom keeps taking me to Giant City Lodge, trademark, and for fried chicken. And
right.
If you haven't gone, go.
I love Giant City Lodge.
I still have not been there.
The dumplings.
I've never been there.
You get, it's served family style. Like they used to do at Pioneer's Cabin, trademark. And, but yeah, the stuff is amazing. The food's amazing. And
Mom just recently told me a story about you.
Uh-oh.
At Giant City Lodge.
Yes.
So as everybody knows, like I've been working out for about 3 years, trying to lose weight and stuff. And my dad had been having some issues.
And Rob has lost a serious bunch of weight.
Yeah, I lost about 195 pounds so far. But this isn't about me. So, you've been having some issues, some weight issues. So you've been gaining weight, losing weight. You kind of stalled out for a while, right?
Well, yeah.
So I was like, if I paid for you to go work out with my trainer, would you go? And I did not expect you to say yes, and you did. So for one, I was
best thing I ever did.
Right. So, and I was very surprised by that, by the fact that you were like, yeah, I'm totally down for doing this. And I was like, what? So you started going one day a week. And then my trainer was like very surprised by how well you were doing. And the fact that you were like encouraged to continue to go and to keep pushing yourself and stuff like that. So she bumped you up to 2 days a week. Just a funny little side story with that. I was like, well, how much is that going to cost? So then she told me, and I was like, all right, 2 days a week, but that's all the money you're getting out of me. So,
yes, he's a wonderful son and he's paying my bill for the trainer.
Well, the whole purpose of me telling that was like the fact that you're going, you're working out. And now like she told me the story about you walking up it's got a long flight of stairs.
Yeah. 12 stairs. There's three and a landing, three and a landing, three and a landing, okay. Three and a landing.
I was imagining something like the freaking Lincoln Memorial where it's like,
No, if it looked like that, I'd just pass out and somebody could carry me up there.
But yeah, so she was saying like you're 67, so you walk with a cane. So she was like, she's talking about how you walked up the stairs and didn't stop at all. And I was like, holy crap, what? So, yeah. And then my trainer has been saying like, you're walking for like, you started with 1 minute and you thought the treadmill's literally running away from you.
Yeah, I did.
Then now she's like 8 minutes, you're up to 8 minutes and stuff like that. And then you're asking to work out with, or she said you're going to work out with weights and you were excited about it. And I'm like, this is incredible. Like, used to have...
Did she tell you that?
Yeah.
What is she on?
Oh, were you not excited about it? No,
I don't know about the weights now. I did those stretchable band things are bad enough.
Oh, yeah. But I'm super, super proud of you for the fact that you're pushing yourself and, like, that you're actually excited about going and the improvements and progress that you've made.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that you had enough concern for me that you were willing to go do that.
Yeah.
And that you, and I'm proud enough of you because you have a job that pays enough that you can do that.
Right.
And, but yeah, she's been working me out on that. We did, I think the longest I've done walking on the treadmill is 8 minutes and I did it.
Yeah.
Last time was 6 minutes and she's moved all the treadmills into the back now where I can't see them anymore. She did that on purpose. They were discouraging. Anyway, but yeah, she has me walking back and forth in the studio.
Yeah.
And last time I did that, I was supposed to do four times. There and back was one time. So I did four and a half times.
Nice.
Just to show her I could do it.
Be careful with that because I did that too. So I was on the battle ropes where you do the ropes up and down. And I was like, B, I'm going to do this just for you for like 10 seconds. I was like really, really fast. And she, and then all of a sudden she's like, keep going, keep going, keep going. I'm like, gosh, dang it.
Oh no.
So I had to do it for the whole minute. And I was, oh, it was exhausting.
Yeah. I've noticed recently that she has me always start out the same way. That big purple ball thing.
With the squats and stuff.
Yeah. And I had no idea when I first went in there that that thing would support me. And
that's a thing when you're a big, when you're a big guy, like, cause you know, I that was my whole life. I was like, this is going to suck. Cause like I would check chairs before I would sit down. I would like, if I was going to walk across a bridge or whatever, something like that, I'd be like, let me test this out first before I go.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, I don't know if that's going to support me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I sat down on this
and it bounced you right back up.
Yeah, basically. And she said, okay, sit down and I want you to do 20, just do 20 bounces. So, okay. So I did 20 bounces. And man, the inside of my thighs burned so bad. I was using muscles I hadn't used in years.
Yeah.
And now I do 5 sets of 20 when I first get there just to loosen up. And I don't even feel it anymore.
That's great.
Wow, that's amazing. And,
yeah, that's called the active stretch warm-up. So we do that, like, those kind of things. Like, I'll do stretches and sumo stretches and walkouts and stuff like that before the workout. So that's what she's got you doing.
Yeah, I'll do that. And I do my, she has me do my arms different directions up and down and stuff. And yeah, and I don't even feel it anymore.
Right.
Well, she had me do a bunch of stuff last time that the back of my shoulders were on fire for the rest of the day.
Yeah, so what's great about all of that stuff that you're doing is it strengthens your core, it strengthens your legs. Because like before, you were walking with a cane, but you weren't getting any exercise and strengthening your core, strengthening your legs and everything.
It was all I could do to move around. Right. Yeah.
And now you're like, just because you've been doing those exercises for how long has it been? Like a couple months? Like 3 or 4 months?
So it's coming up on 6, I think.
Really?
Yeah. It's, wow. It's 5 or 6. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember you telling me about it. I feel like it's been like 6 months.
Wow. I did not realize it had been that long.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're like, you're a lot stronger now. You've got the muscles there to support your body. Cause like,
that's right. I'm a man.
It's about time. but yeah, no, so that's, I'm so excited. Like so proud. And I can't wait to see like where you go and like what happens. We just got to get you away from the soda and the sugar and stuff.
Well, I don't do much sugar anymore.
Oh, that's good.
But, eat a little ice cream every once in a while, but
who doesn't? Hey,
I deserve ice cream. And but the soda, now I've got to admit, I have drunk, started out with Coke and went to Diet Coke, but I have drunk that stuff. I have drank it. Okay.
Let's let the writer tell us how to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I've been drinking that stuff.
No, it's drinketed.
Okay. I've been imbibing that stuff for 40 something years now.
Right.
And I've always wondered what would happen to a generation raised on carbonated beverages. And now you know.
So I have a funny story about that. Like you used to buy 24 packs of Diet Coke and you'd put it in the fridge and then you'd go to work and then you would come home and they would all be gone. So we would have our friends come over and we would like literally run around outside all day long. And then we would go inside, drink a Diet Coke, drink a Diet Coke, drink a Diet Coke. After I grew up and I came up here, and I was able to go out and get my own stuff. I was like, oh, I want Coke instead of Diet Coke. And then I went back and drank a Diet Coke and I was like, I was like, this stuff is so disgusting. It's regular so gross.
Coke is better for you than Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah, because it's not the aspartame.
I mean, you better get up on that microphone. The other things that are in it.
What microphone?
That one.
It's not good.
What'd you say?
I'm very anti diet soda.
Well, yeah. I never drink diet soda.
She's your nemesis.
Never. It's better to drink real sugar than fake.
Yeah.
Well, you know that, I think it's Diet Right. It's made with stevia, which is actually natural. Sweetener, a natural artificial sweetener.
Right.
So it's that's the only one I know of that's made with that stuff. And it's got to be a cost thing because everybody knows aspartame turns your bloodstream into formaldehyde. So.
Yeah,
that's gross.
But it's true.
Well, you want to know what's even more naturaler than that is what? Water.
No.
Have you ever drunk water
out of the tap?
Yeah.
That is the nastiest crap I've ever had.
Where are you getting your tap water?
Carville, dude.
Oh, man.
No. Seriously, the Carville water has been nasty lately.
It has. That's true.
Did the lakes turn or something?
I don't know.
No, I think it's just, it's been like It's been longer than the season.
It's been like all summer. It's been a few months.
Crap they stirred up when they put in the new water lines here a year or two ago.
Well, and plus they break every other day.
They're like, boil order.
Yeah.
That's also true.
So I've been literally just buying bottled water. I can't drink the tap at my house anymore.
Yeah, you got to protect that baby.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Amanda's pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we cut it out the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, we did cover that.
Yeah.
No, right. we cut it out.
Yo, really?
Yeah.
Because you cut the baby out?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
It's in my backpack.
No, Rob was like, I'm going to cut that out because no
don't,
one.
Don't do the voice where you're annoyed with me. No do one... the voice because I really care about you.
No, he was like, it just seemed like no one looked excited except for Micah.
That wasn't it. That was part of it. But it was it was because you hadn't announced it yet. And I didn't want it to be on the podcast because you hadn't told anybody yet. But literally, the day before the episode released, you announced it. And I'm like, I could have left it.
I know.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm not putting it back
in. But really, you guys didn't, like, Shane and you did not look excited. Because
we already knew.
Yeah, because you already knew. So.
And then, Micah had, like, this, like, super surprised look on her face. But, I wanted to cut it out just because I didn't want you to.
Feel, like, rushed to announce. Yeah. Which was kind of you.
Aw.
But speaking of soda, like, you're supposed to, like, limit your caffeine, which is fine
being pregnant or just in general
in general also when you're pregnant. But so I was like, oh, I'm not worried because I don't really drink coffee and I never ever drink soda. Well, now like I've been craving Coke since being pregnant, and I'm like, okay, you can have one Coke a week.
Like, give the baby a little taste.
It's horrible.
Not enough to get them
addicted. And I'm like, I've never wanted soda this bad in my whole life.
That makes no sense.
Also, can't have cold deli meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been craving this. Why would you ever crave this? I've been wanting like bologna sandwich with mustard, like the white bread that like sticks to your roof of your mouth.
Like the childhood one. Do you put chips on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've just been wanting one of those. I'm like, Shane, once I give birth, that's the first thing I want. So I've just been thinking about it.
None of you guys are old enough to remember Coke back in the day.
When they had cocaine in it?
Well, no, that was back in the 1800s. But
you weren't around then?
No. You and I are going to talk later. They had actual cocaine in it, and they finally discovered that, wow, cocaine's addictive. You better get rid of this. So that's why it was called Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So they got rid of the cocaine, but there was an original Coke. There was the original Coke. They took the cocaine out, left the recipe the same. And then they came out with, in the mid-70s, I think, new Coke. Mm. And it was the worst thing Coke ever did.
And then they went back to the old recipe, didn't they?
Now, they said they went back to the old recipe, but it did not taste the same at all. Hmm. And they really messed it up when they tried to play with that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they just messed it up and tried to go back to the original. That was how it was advertised. The original Coca-Cola. Right. No, it's not. Anybody who drank the stuff before knows it doesn't taste anything like this.
They did a bunch of dumb stuff too, like trying, like, I guess Pepsi made that like Crystal Pepsi and it was like clear or whatever.
Yeah,
like, all these gimmicks to try to sell more of it.
And they make a joke out of it in Back to the Future. But I think it's Back to the Future where what's his name?
The guy Marty?
The guy who starred as Marty.
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, he goes into this place and he asks the guy for
Pepsi Free.
Free. He said, I can't give you one. He said, okay, well, give me a tab. I can't give you a tab until you order something. Because they didn't have those things back then. But tab was the original Diet Coke and it was horrendous.
So whenever he asked for a Pepsi Free in that movie, I was like, what is Pepsi Free? Like, I had no clue what that was. Because I was born in 82 and this movie took place in 85.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that part of it took place in 55, but that was actually when he went back in time, it was 5 days before your birthday, five days before you were born.
And I knew him. I met him.
You met Michael J. Fox?
Yes, I met Marty. Yeah.
You met, did you legit meet Michael J. Fox?
Because
you've met some celebrities.
I've met quite a few people. Yes, I worked as we didn't tell you that earlier, I worked as a bodyguard also for several years. And I got to work with a bunch of different people.
Didn't you work with Whitney Houston or something?
No, it was in Houston.
All right, that's it. Podcast is over.
Yeah. I did bodyguard work for Alan Thicke, Robin Thicke's dad.
TV's Alan Thicke?
Yes. And for y'all know Dolly Parton, right?
Yeah.
You know, what? She had a, she hey, had
you, a stop, you, cool. got, you gotta stop hitting the table.
Sorry. She had a, she has a sister named Stella who also has a music career. At, well, doesn't now, she's given it up, mm-hmm. but she had a music career and we had to go work security for her one time because the Bandito Motorcycle Club, which is the Hell's Angels of Texas, got upset with her about something, and she had this huge venue outside concert thing, and they said they were going to come there and disrupt the whole thing. And mm-hmm. so we had her security detail, me and my partner, had 8 Harris County Sheriff's deputies and 1 Texas Ranger.
Wow.
That's what you get when you call the Texas Rangers for help. Literally, when you call the Texas Rangers for help, you get one Ranger.
That's all you need. It's like yeah. Chuck Norris.
Yeah, one event, one Ranger. That's all you get. And he was going to take on this entire motorcycle gang by himself with us backing him up. And so we the concert went off great. Mm-hmm. No problem. No big deal. But it was weird running around there with all those cops because the Texas Ranger got there and he got this rifle out of his car. The thing is like, looks like a bazooka. Goes up and there was a lip up under the front of the stage and he stuck the gun up under there so he could get to it in case anybody decided they wanted to cause mm-hmm. problems. And so it was.
This was back when in the days when you could just shoot people and not have to worry about getting sued.
Oh, no. Back in Texas in those days. Nowadays.
Yeah, this is Texas.
Yeah, nowadays, Texas, anybody can carry a gun, basically. In Texas back then, though, you had to have a special type of CCW permit in order to carry a gun. I had one. My partner had one. And
you never carried a gun, though.
Yeah, I did. I carried a gun for a long time.
No, like around us, I've never saw you carry a gun.
You couldn't carry it when I was off duty. It was only that was one of the things you had.
Oh, I thought you were talking about concealed carry, like
yeah,
as it is. As a pedestrian or whatever.
No, not as a pedestrian. They had civilian. They had them for concealed carry at all times. They had concealed carry when on duty for, concealed carry when in uniform on duty for, and target and. Target and hunting was the other one. And you had to apply for it. You had to have a reason for it. And so it was kind of nuts back in those days. Now they've got this, the Texas concealed carry law where anybody can carry a gun. Actually, in Texas, you can carry a rifle anywhere, rifle or shotgun.
That's what I'm talking about.
walk down the street, carry it, throw it over your shoulder, whatever.
Like a Continental soldier.
Yep. Just like a just like somebody from the Union or the Confederacy.
All right. So, does anybody have any more questions or want to hear any other crazy stories from a 67-year-old father of mine?
He's old drunk.
I have to pee before we move on.
That's not.
Oh, well, I was going to end it real quick.
Okay.
if you can hack it,
I have to blow my nose.
Can you give me 2 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. So the last thing I wanted from you was if you had any words of wisdom, you got to keep it under 2 minutes.
Okay.
That you could share with the children in the room.
Oh, let's see.
Which means all 4 of us.
Let's see.
And anybody watching.
Best tip I can give you is
the 205 subscribers that we have.
Yeah, the best tip I can give you is don't get old.
Well.
Something we can actually do. Unless somebody's found the fountain.
See, she's got my back.
Any updates?
I got to make sure.
I think my trainer found the fountain. I talked about that before.
You got to stay in shape because being out of shape at this age. And I admit, I worked 2 or 3 jobs at the same time my whole life. At one point, I had 5 jobs at the same time, which is why I never saw the kids. And they rode their bikes on the roof of the house. But it's you only get one life. Take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, here I am, 67 years old. I just retired last year. They finally let me retire last year. And I'm still working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm going to make a political joke here. Like they say, yeah, we made 200,000 jobs last month. Yeah. And I've got 3 of them and still can't pay my rent. Yeah. So, anyway, but yeah, just take care of yourself because when you get to this stage, you're really going to want to be able to take care of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and another best thing I can advise you, Rob, I know you do this already. Put money in an IRA. Mm. I worked for the Houston Chronicle newspaper for 20 years. And they had a 3% matching IRA thing there the whole time. If I had to put $100 a paycheck, $50 a paycheck in there, I'd be sitting pretty right now. But I got to work three jobs just to get by.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So does anybody have anything? Anything else?
Nope.
All right.
All right. Do we sing the motto or whatever to the end of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
This is just nonsense.
Aw, I like it. I like it.
All right. So thank you guys for watching. This is just nonsense. You can find us on our link tree. We got all our socials and everything on there. You can go to our website and do whatever you want to do. And leave a comment below with your words of wisdom. And then we will hopefully see you on the next one that you're going to watch, because hopefully it's better than this one.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not going to be there. How can it be better?
Oh, I guess it'll be worse. It'll probably be worse.
Yes, there you go.
Probably. I am going to make it better. I'll do whatever I can. Right.
Take your time off. No, I'm sorry. All right. You said it. Everybody take your time off.
What is wrong with you? Is it too late? Are you just super tired? You're just like, you're out of it?
I had like 6 hours of sleep last night. It's pretty,
That's pretty good for you. That's pretty middle of the road.
Yeah,
That's pretty good.
I would agree. Yeah. Everybody
sounds
like an eight, but I think that's a lie.
I gotta go pee.
Okay.
Bye. Bye, America.
Bye, America.
All right, cut.